Don, what happened here with this club where it had just those three positive tests before heading to Orlando, and then you see that spike upon arrival?
Well, you know, it starts with the best way for us to ensure that we have our players in an environment that protects them is to put them into a centralized location. We have health and safety protocols, regular testing, and this actually proves that the protocol is working, that they were, in essence, stopped before they entered the bubble. And once we saw that the numbers of players that were coming in from Dallas were testing the way they were, it was a fairly easy decision.
That was Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber, making the case that his league is ready to return. Like other leaders in sports, he's facing questions over whether that's true. But unlike most other commissioners, his league returns tonight. The MLS tournament is going to be a World Cup-style frenzy, but with one team out due to the virus and several games postponed. It remains to be seen if the league can overcome the frenzy off the field, too. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, July 8th. This is ESPN Daily.
The sandwiches did look pretty bad.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? And you know what's funny? I heard those pictures were manipulated because what? We've got, Mina, get this. We've got people inside and the picture looks way different than what was put on Instagram and social media.
That's ESPN soccer analyst Taylor Twellman, myth-busting social media photos of very sad lunches taken in Major League Soccer's Orlando bubble. Twellman also played pro soccer for a decade.
All right, I'm sending you the pictures now.
The real sandwiches. Oh my God, yep. We're getting the behind-the-scene scoop here.
All right, I'm about to look at this, guys. I'm going to describe it in vivid detail for the producers. Oh, I mean, it's still $65. Oh my God, I do like Terra chips.
Oh, me too.
So Taylor, let's start here. You were supposed to be in Orlando right now to cover the return of MLS, but you are not. What happened?
I mean, a lot's happened, right? First, covering the sport, if you have no access to the coaches or players, you then need to assess, is it worth it? But two, and this is the most important thing, so they would have created booths literally on scaffoldings. The scaffolding wouldn't have been sufficient enough space to be 6 feet apart from your partner. So my play-by-play partner, John Champion, would have been on a scaffolding and I would have been on the field. But safety and operations said, wait a minute, if there's thunder and lightning, it takes us 10 to 12 minutes to get the scaffolding down. We can't do that.
So tonight then, when the MLS is back tournament starts, you will be at ESPN headquarters in Connecticut instead of Florida, which means no $65 lunchboxes with Terra chips for you. Now, Taylor, you've been covering games overseas and the National Women's Soccer League started up last weekend. How is all of this feeling for you that soccer's back?
Oh, man, it's unbelievable, Mina. So it's nice to be talking about games. Let's make no mistake about it. Talk about the games. Talk about what's on the field. Because the last 12 to 15 weeks here, we've kind of been talking about everything else.
What have you been hearing from players about life inside the bubble?
There's an anxiety there because obviously the world turned a little bit in Major League Soccer when FC Dallas showed up to the bubble and had so many positive tests once they got there.
Right. Several people showed up and tested positive, and now Dallas has pulled out of the tournament altogether.
Breaking news in the last hour here. FC Dallas will not take part in the MLS's back tournament following the high number of positive tests of the coronavirus within the club. Dallas had three players test positive before the team arrived to Disney's Wide World of Sports Complex on June 27th. Now a total of 10 players and one coach have tested positive for a total of 11 cases just on that team alone.
For the most part, Mina, it's actually been pretty positive once you're in there. I think the news you keep seeing and all this stuff is before teams get there. Whatever it may be regarding testing, that's where the anxiety really builds. But once you start texting people that are in the bubble and non-league delegation people, and I want to make that abundantly clear, so it's not like they have to say that. For the most part, it's been pretty positive. But is there an anxiety there? Absolutely, Mina. But I think you and I see that anxiety in and out of sports anyways. You got to remember, most of these teams and players have been off 6 of the last 8 months because the season ended last year and then the pandemic came right after week two.
MLS suspending the season until May the 10th. Here's just part of the statement. MLS remains focused on playing the entire 2020 season.
So there's been a ton of break. You got to give them sufficient enough time to train and be ready. I will say this, though, because of the tournament being in all the group stage games being part of the regular season, Mina, it does give you a B plan, right? FC Dallas, just for an example, can't play. They can technically make up those group stage games later on in the year because the plan is after this tournament, 12 to 16 games will be played in their respective home markets. But like you and I have already discussed, that's a 12-hour, 24-hour news cycle. So how they can predict August 15th to September 1st is beyond me. But that's the plan.
Why is this worth it for MLS? I mean, we know why it's worth it. We know why every sport is doing it, the money. But for MLS in particular, Taylor, what is the hope for what a return to play could do for the league?
One of the five men's sports leagues in the United States, they'd be the first one back, and they would give themselves almost 17 days with nothing else. No competition. Yes, you've got NASCAR. Yes, you've got the PGA Tour. But Mina, you and I both know those aren't our demographics. But you're going to get a lot of eyeballs, especially tonight, that you would never have gotten before. There's a real opportunity here.
For those who haven't been following Major League Soccer, what has the trajectory been like in recent years in terms of the growth of the league?
Well, for someone that, if you would have told me when I was playing 12 years ago, that we would have teams in Nashville, Cincinnati, two teams in LA, all with soccer stadiums, Mina, I would have told you you're completely out of your mind. No chance. The growth of Major League Soccer has been exponential and way quicker and at the level much higher than any of us that played in this league thought 10, 12 years ago. So the fact that we're here we are in 2020 celebrating the 25th year in itself is an accomplishment because, Mina, there weren't bumps in the road. There were potholes in the road to get here, and yet they've gotten here and they've got an interest level where a team in Charlotte is paying over $300 million expansion fee to get in. And yet there's still that elephant in the room of saying, how do we become mainstream as a sport? Now, soccer, you know Mina better than anyone. Soccer is 100% in the mainstream in the United States. It's Major League Soccer getting into that, not necessarily the European leagues, but how does Major League Soccer become a huge part in that? And I think Major League Baseball is sweating it a little bit when their youngest fan and the demographic of their fan is 45 or older, and everyone else in Major League Soccer is 16 to 35. Mina, there's a real opportunity for growth, and I think that conversation of soccer being the sport of the future, I think that's future maybe here.
Well, after the break, let's talk about the soccer and what we're going to see.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Taylor, like the NHL, MLS has decided to do a tournament instead of a regular season. Why did they do that and how is it going to play out?
first and foremost, I think when they made this executive decision, the bubble was a necessary point of view because playing games in their respective cities was not possible. Now, all the European leagues will be finished, and then Major League Soccer kicks off with this tournament, right? So you're now looking at it, and you're going to get soccer fans because everyone, Mina, in the United States of America and abroad knows what a World Cup looks like, but you're going to get an interest level that wouldn't have been there if it was just regular season games in their respective cities, and I think that was a huge part of that decision.
Which teams do you think stand to benefit from this format?
The teams that have experience in playing these tournaments, both coaches and players. You know, how many of your players have experienced a World Cup style tournament at a high level? How many coaches have done that? You know, so you look at that in the experience of Toronto FC, Seattle. You know, I would even say LAFC because of their talent level and where they are. Atlanta. Those four teams are going to be the four teams that are talked about. But then it's the other aspect of expect the unexpected. It's 2020. There's been a four-month break. Which teams stayed more fit during the pandemic? Which teams did more? But also which teams have more of a continuity within the roster, have been together for a longer period of time? And so a Sporting Kansas City comes to mind. Minnesota United comes to mind. So it really is a little bit of a throw the balls in the air and see where they fall. But the four teams, LAFC, Atlanta, Seattle, Toronto, you know, if I'm giving you favorites, those would be the four teams as of now.
So I have to come clean. Despite being a Seattle sports fan, I am not a Sounders fan. However, I am totally prepared to bandwagon them like crazy this year. I know that they are last year's MLS Cup defending champions.
The referee decides that enough is enough. Is the sound of success of the Seattle Sounders.
What do you think their odds are this year, and how hard should I bandwagon?
Oh, Mina, you need to bandwagon now. And the fact that we're talking in July of 2020 and you haven't joined that bandwagon yet, what would you have been, living under a rock?
Sad. It's sad. I know. How good are they?
They're legit. They have been. Listen, they're the only team in MLS history from their opening season to make the playoffs. And then you look at what they've done. They've been to three MLS Cup finals in the last 4 years. They've won two of those. They've done it their way. Their fan base believes that everything starts with them. There's an arrogance there that I absolutely love. And they get after it. They do it with a combination of, you know, South American players. And then you've got a couple young American players that have played for the national team and continue to be part of the national team program. You know, Mina, the only downside to Seattle Sounders is the fact that they play on turf, not grass. But honestly, you're talking about one of the top three or four franchises in Major League Soccer. So the fact that you're not on that bandwagon and everyone else is, Mina, we need to have a real conversation.
All right. So if you're listening, guys, I am officially joining the bandwagon, but I am here in LA where we've got two teams, LAFC and LA Galaxy, and they've got a hot crosstown rivalry going. We call it El Tráfico for obvious reasons, but there will be no traffic when they play in Orlando, at least that we know of. And LAFC's Carlos Vela, the league's reigning MVP, has opted out of the tournament for family reasons.
Carlos Vela ha hecho oficial no va a estar en el campeonato MLS is back, que arranca.
How will his absence impact the team, and what's at stake for that matchup in the group stage?
Mina, obviously it's massive news. The 2019 MLS MVP Carlos Vela won't be available. Yet we're talking about a Bob Bradley coach team that has a wealth of riches. And in a quick turnaround for this tournament where there's been a lot of time off, I don't think it's going to hurt LAFC as much as people think. It was going to be awkward anyways, Mina, because no Zlatan. And see, Zlatan in that rivalry brought so many eyeballs. He transcended sports. He transcended soccer.
Ibrahimovic! With LA in his name, and surely now in his heart as well.
There's very few people that do that. But this rivalry's for real. The playoff game last year on ESPN did a record number. That says it all. It's a real rivalry. It has exceeded any expectation I had. But LA has quickly become the topic of not only the town, but the league.
I want to ask you about the soccer itself, the quality of the soccer, because teams have been waiting to return to play for months. And, you know, this is a sport that requires quite a bit of conditioning and training. Have you heard anything from players about their concerns with injuries and whether they're going to be ready to play at the highest level?
Yes, that's the only thing I've heard about for the 4 weeks or so before heading into this MLS is Back tournament. Your game fitness, your game sharpness. Obviously, you're going to have more subs than you normally do in a regular game. There's going to be hydration breaks that are not normal in normal games. These are all things that you have to do during a global pandemic. But there's a real cause for concern for me, because initially what you saw in Germany was not only rust, but you saw some injuries. But obviously any kind of postponements to games, that may throw it into a little bit of a tizzy. So now teams may have to recover in 4 days instead of five. But I do think the players realize that there's eyeballs on these games that they would have never had. All the leagues around the world are going to be done playing, so scouts are still going to watch these games. I think the quality is going to be better, like we saw in the NWSL, than many of us expected.
So there's hope amongst the players that scouts and teams in other countries might be paying attention?
Absolutely. You never know who's watching, especially now. Because during a global pandemic, Mina, what's interesting is, you know, is it now 75 cents to a dollar? You know, can you get a player that you could get a little cheaper than you would have without the global pandemic? And vice versa for Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer is going to be buying players that they wouldn't have been looking at in the past because they can get them a little cheaper.
Hmm. You alluded to the hydration breaks. For those who have never been to Florida in the summer.
Oh, my goodness.
It is sweaty, to say the least. What else is being done to account for that?
The game times. Games will be at 9 a.m. and then they will wait till 8 p.m. and 10:30. Two reasons why. One, the weather. You talk about the humidity. It's literally, for those of you listening at home, turn on your shower, turn it on as hot as it can be, let it go for 10 minutes, and then walk into that shower. You got to run 5 to 7 miles in that. It's extremely difficult. The other aspect is, historically, there's these quote-unquote afternoon rain showers in Florida that, Mina, are more like a tornado compared to what you and I are used to. But weather's going to be a factor in this no matter what. And that's why you're seeing 9 a.m., 8 p.m., and 10:30 for the group stage games.
Which also might make it easier for people overseas to watch, huh?
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting, Mina? The 9 a.m. game slot. Don't be shocked if this 9 a.m. game rates well and all of a sudden Major League Soccer says, wait a minute here. On the East Coast, can we play an 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. game that follows the EPL and other leagues around the world on television? And then for the West Coast teams, that would be a 9 a.m. game slot. And you would almost call it, you know, breakfast with Major League Soccer. Mina, don't be shocked if this comes out of this.
Look at you branding. Well, as of this moment, I am a lifelong Seattle Sounders fan, but a 9 a.m. Eastern start time, Taylor, I might have to miss those.
Oh, come on. I'll be texting you at 5:45 with a pregame thought.
Throwing me into a tizzy. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Mina.
Coming up, how a store clerk popped the cork on Patrick Mahomes' big news before anyone else.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I want you to know. The folks in our world who break big sports news are some of the hardest working, most well-known reporters in the field. At ESPN, we've got Adrian Wojnarowski, Jeff Passan, and of course, in football, Adam Schefter, who shocked the world when he announced via his Twitter that the Chiefs and quarterback Patrick Mahomes had reached an agreement on a 10-year, up to $503 million contract extension through the 2031 season. When I saw the news, like everyone else, well, I was pretty shocked.
Wasn't even about, guys, the Chiefs and quarterback Patrick Mahomes just agreed to a 10-year contract. What?
What I didn't know was that Schefter was not actually first on this story, because 90 minutes before his report, an employee at Plaza Liquor in Kansas City named Katie Camlin tweeted out the following. And I quote, "A front office employee for the Chiefs came in and bought 6 bottles of Dom Perignon. Said there's a big signing today. He said it's not Chris Jones, so my guess is it's a Mahomes deal." I'm surprised he told her that. After Schefter confirmed Katie's belief, she promptly tweeted again, "Holy, I beat Schefter." This morning, Adam DM'd her, "Well done. Keep me posted the next time some Chiefs employee buys 6 bottles of bubbly. Be well and stay healthy." He's joking, but you know, maybe like a little bit not there. In any case, cheers to Katie for her Camlin bomb. And cheers to the Chiefs for locking up their guy. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.